Alloy. Alloy.
Brought to you by PureGrainAudio.com and coming at you from the Alloy Studios in Albany, Oregon, this is the Alloy Podcast.
Alloy.
Welcome to the show. This is Matt, and you're going to hear As Tyrants Fall playing a bunch in the background. I'm at the Well Hall hanging out with a couple of the guys from Arkham. And anyone that's familiar with my blog will already know this first guy. But if you can introduce yourselves to the listeners, that'd be awesome.
Yep, I'm Steven. I play guitar in Arkham.
And I'm Kenneth. I'm the vocalist.
Right on. So, Anno Universum been a very positive response in... From the metal community in your guys' first full length.
Yeah.
And I understand there's an even better response to the couple of tracks that are out there running around right now, right?
It's always surprising, honestly. You get so accustomed to how you sound as a musician. You get so accustomed to how it sounds to you that you stop realizing how it might actually sound to people, that someone might actually like it. It's the same. It just keeps happening. I mean, first getting picked up by Vendless, that was a surprise in and of itself. And then their PR department just flung us all sorts of interviews, got us all over the web. I mean, we were on Blabbermouth, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming. It still is. I mean, I bet when people recognize you on the street like that you don't know, it's bizarre. I mean, yeah, it's only really in our hometown, but still, it's like I've never seen this dude, but, you know, he knows my name.
Right.
It's fucking...
Yeah, I just went and took a dump at the gas station over there, and some kid's like, "Hey, what's up, dude?" And I was like, "Hey, I don't know who he was." It's like, "Okay, cool, I guess he thinks he knows me," so...
And of course, you know, we have a really sweet mother, so she's always like, guys are famous, we're coming to see her, she's like, "You're famous to us," and I'm like, "Hey, Mom."
Thanks, Mom.
It's appreciated.
Our parents are ridiculously supportive.
Well, and not just your parents, though. The entire Eugene scene. Like, I can't go to an Oregon show without someone sucking your guys' cocks. Like, it's so ridiculous. Like, and that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I just say it, that, like, I posted something because I'm really good friends with the guys in Dust's Embrace.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were up for getting, like, you had to vote for them to get an article in a magazine or something like that, right? So I posted something on Facebook, said nothing about you guys, and virtually everybody from Eugene was like, "Put Arkham on the list." And I was like, "Wait, the list isn't mine to control. Like, it's the, what do you, I don't know what to do with that, you know?" Like, but more power to it. Like, that was,
you're talking
cool
about it. You must be in control.
Yeah.
but I was like, "Wow, all right. Maybe a pity vote then?" Like,
no, it's great. I mean, every show we play, even in Eugene, you know, I was just talking to my girlfriend about how I'm still worried the turnout won't be good tonight, but, like, pretty much every time we play, this isn't even trying to sound arrogant, but a lot of people come out, and it's just, like, awesome. But, you know, it's always there in the back of your mind. You don't want to fail.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the people that, when you're up playing, there's, like, five people there, and the WoW are like, "You know, we just... you know, paid for sound people to work for 4 or 5 hours."
Right.
Like, six people came, but, yeah.
Well, then when there's a five-person crowd at the WoW Hall...
Oh, yeah.
Then it looks like there's literally nobody here.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Like, if you're at a bar or something, you're like, "Okay, 5 to 10 people. That's almost...
10 people at Black Forest is packing the fucking house."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and the WoW deals with primarily non-extreme music. I mean, it's there's easy listening music here. There's a lot of folk music that comes. There's a lot of world music. There's a lot of, like, more underground hip-hop artists that always play here. So it's not...
And you get the occasional big artist. Like, I saw Isis here on their last tour. And
yeah, I saw As I Lay Dying here quite a while ago.
Yeah. So 3 Inches. Bands come through, and unfortunately, this is basically the only sizable like Polyaegis menu left.
Yeah.
Everything's just kind of falling apart. Maybe we had the Samurai Duck, which was excellent. You could do... We did a few All Ages shows there. That kind of fell apart. We had the Epic Space run by Abe from Rivals, who was also a tattooist.
Yeah, and then that kind of fell apart as well. And then, but, you know, now we got, like, random houses that some people play at, you know. Or like,
yeah.
The Wandering Goat, which is a coffee shop, which is fun. And it's actually... I really love the environment. It's got a great, like, extremely hipster environment to it. But, like... but when you've got, like... You know, you've got, like, extreme music. Like, it's kind of hard, because it kind of just washes out. Like, I remember he saw, I think it was Ashbor and Velnius there, and each of the bands, they're, like, said all the guitars just kind of ran together, because it's a coffee shop. It's not made to...
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're incredibly supportive. I mean, they support art because it's art, you know?
Yeah.
They support creation. They support the movement itself.
Yeah.
So they're always down for shows. Yeah, it's excellent there. Actually, Ceremonial Castings is playing there on Halloween.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a couple of bands. They're coming down here with Scorched Earth and...
It's just them, Scorched Earth, and then Tormenting.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to set up a show for Fallujah there as well. This is an Alloy Podcast bonus episode that I'm throwing up here for the holiday. It's kind of not really for the holiday. It's more... for Black Friday. So this is Black Metal Black Friday, and I'm talking with the buddies Arkham, and everything I play on the show today is either going to be black metal or blackened death metal, so I hope you enjoy it. We're going to start things off in this first song set with some Goat Whore, Wear These Scars of Testimony. Yeah!
Lost soul and downfall of personal faith.
listeners, don't forget to show the podcast some love. Go like us on Facebook, follow us on Tumblr or Twitter, and you can find links to all those at alloypodcast.com. And here's Behemoth with Conquer All.
So they're going to be coming through in a while.
But. The last time they were here, we played with them.
Stupidly good response. Like, it was dumb to play with them. they're so tight live, it's ridiculous.
Which is amazing, because the last time they came through, they played in Salem.
Yeah.
And other than the Eugene people that drove up to Salem, almost no one was at the show.
Yeah, that sucks.
It's crazy to think that geographically, that's virtually no space in the world, and yet the show's... that are doing awesome here do horribly in Salem.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's bizarre. You would think, like, the closer to Portland you were, the easier it would be for people to get out.
Yeah.
But, you know, typically Portland people are like, oh, I'm just not playing here. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Eugene people are the same way.
Right.
Sometimes Salem gets good shows. I mean, I know there's the Armory.
But that's a huge venue.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, like, that's...
Yeah.
I've talked to the people here at the Wellhole about trying to make this, like, a real, like, destination, for lack of a better word. So we can actually get big bands through here.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the McDonald Theater, which Mastodon has played at, Behemoth, Hatebreed, like huge bands.
Well, I know in October, I think it's October, it might be November, is Miss May I, We Came as Romans, yeah, and and that's here.
That's
a pretty big show.
They're gonna pack the house. This shit's gonna. I remember one year when Opeth and Devil Driver played here.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a weird mashup, I think. But anyways,
it was weird to have Opeth here.
Yeah, but they sold it out, and not even a ton of bands have done this. But Tim and Eric sold this place out. Tim and Eric actually sold this place out, so they had to move it to the McDonald's because so many people bought tickets. They had to move it down the street. Yeah, that's ridiculous. But
WowHall, they're pretty good about overpacking. Like, not to a ridiculous amount, not to where you literally have people falling out of the openings.
But
I mean, like, the capacity, I think, is 291, and I've seen it before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's easily. That's if, you're all standing shoulder to shoulder.
Whenever, there's that flyer up there for the Yob and Rywolf show, and, dude, there was a lot of fucking people here for that show. That was ridiculous.
Oh, I see a Wasp poster as well.
Yeah.
As much as I'd hate to admit it, that would probably be a huge draw.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, that'd be ridiculous. So yeah, that's we try to do our best to give like some kind of varied lineup. Unfortunately, at any one time, there's not a whole lot of active bands that sound good on a bill together.
Yeah,
I'm in Eugene,
and I'm just kind of a stickler. I don't like playing with bands that I don't like.
Yeah,
I'll admit it. There's really no point in doing that. So I mean, I'm not gonna just play with a band just because they're like, here, play with us. I'm like, I'm probably gonna find a band that we actually enjoy hanging out with or enjoy. Yep. Like all the bands tonight, like the reason that it was called Incest Fest, which was deemed by the guys in Gene Grey and The Fool, was because like every band is sharing members except As Tyrants Fall. Because like our bassist is filling in with Gene Grey, and then The Fool's drummer is our drummer. So we're all friends with them. But the WoW Hall seem to be they're pretty supportive of us. I mean, it's pretty awesome. As are most places around here. But Samurai, Samurai was small, but it was awesome. When you only got, 90 people in there, there were people pouring out the doors.
Yeah.
So it felt fucking cool.
Yeah. It felt huge.
Yeah, it really did.
Well, I know recently there was a nice little post in No Clean Singing about you guys.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, go on about that a little bit.
You're talking about the one that was, yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually kind of before the PR dudes at Bentley started getting rolling, we were just kind of emailing random blogs, random sites, just like, hey, we have this coming out, we already have some demos, here's a link to a song on YouTube or something. And actually it was a year ago yesterday, so on the August 20th 2010 when Anna came out, No Clean Singing did a feature on us, and they did an interview with Steven and I. And then they've just been incredibly supportive.
Yeah, they actually,
and the write-ups they give us are always more than just fellatio. It seems like they actually legitimately appreciate the music.
Yeah. Not just fucking jerking us off just to do it.
Yeah,
which is cool. And they actually approached us about it before we even signed the deal with Vendless, and That was pretty awesome.
Did they?
Yeah, and I was living in Washington at the time. Yeah, and
I'm not even in this band.
And they talked to me, kept emailing me, and I actually lived right next to them. And that was pretty cool, and they've just been supportive. And so I was like, well, if we're going to put out a new song, we might as well do it through them.
And we were already doing an EP. We were going to print it, but frankly, we're poor, so we didn't.
Yeah. And I personally thought it was a waste of money.
Well,
because it was only just three different versions of one song, so I don't really want to make people pay for
cheapening our art. Excuse me. Piece of shit.
But yeah, we had a really, I thoroughly enjoy that. There's a remix on the EP, which was done by Christopher Horst and his electronic project, which is called Beta Project. And yeah, it's really cool. He did an amazing job with it. He took it and just totally molded the song. I've never even imagined the ways. He would take drums from the main riff and put it during the verse, and you're like, I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
it's like, how did he even think?
Yeah, create really cool feels and grooves and vibes that just never even occurred to us. And then I heard it and I was like, fuck. I was like, I wish we would have written that part.
So cool.
Yeah. No, yeah, it was excellent. And of course, he's actually the guy who did our logo for, you listeners out in Dreamland.
Yeah, he did our logo, and he did, Abe Heard from Rivals did the original artwork for Anno. Mm-hmm.
Horst kind of helped me, like, or helped us touch it up and get it ready for CD, you know, for, like, the printing. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, because that's pretty detailed artwork.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And so we just did it, you know, added some colors, added some backgrounds. Because actually the original looks quite different color-wise. Yeah, it's got a lot of pinks and it's got a lot of weird, trippy colors.
Yeah.
Word.
Word. Word. And here's Dimmu Borgir with Progenies of the Great Apocalypse. We'll be right back.
Attention rockers! Make sure you check out
the Century Media Podcast.
Your place for all things rock, metal, and Century Media since 2006. Listen in and hear the latest tracks from all your favorite Century Media bands before they hit stores. Check out classic tracks and hear exclusive content from Century Media artists as they go on the record to talk about their latest releases.
Hey everybody, this is Chris from In This Moment.
Hi, this is Adam from Warbrand.
Hi, this is Sasha from Internaut.
This is Al from Doc.
This is Camp Pipes from Three to the Blood.
This is Dino from the group Divine Heresy.
Hi, this is Christina.
And I'm Andrea from Lacuna Coil.
This is Mark.
And Chris from Suicide Salad.
You're listening to
On the Record.
On the Record.
On the Record.
Also on the Century Media Podcast, you can get the latest in news with the Century Media Road Report and go rocking and shopping for some of the best new releases in rock. Check out the Century Media Podcast now at iTunes, on the Century Media homepage, and over at Medio. The Century Media Podcast. Check it out.
And here's Cradle of Filth with Medusa and Hemlock.
So what's in the future then? Because I know you and I have talked a little bit about the possibility of you guys going out on tour. Mm-hmm. What's in the immediate and then the not so immediate future for Arkham?
Well, the immediate future is just
casinos.
Yeah, we're gonna go to Vegas and just be
gonna be a casino band.
Yep.
Or we're taking Cher's spot.
Yeah. We'll play fucking weddings. We'll just play that. They'll just have to call us like, we got a wedding in 10 minutes. Okay.
So it's funny. It's like relatives before they actually hear our band. They're like, oh, why don't you come and play this thing? Why don't you come and play that thing?
And you're like, no, probably not.
I know. You should probably listen to it before you.
One of our friends' bands, Atonement. They were like, they were kind of deathcore. Ask, and they played their mom's wedding, and it was really funny. The guitarist's mom's wedding. That was pretty humorous.
All right, okay, so we're working on the second album now.
We've got pretty much everything written. It's just now like doing pre-production and polishing all the little spots, and me and Kyle are terrible at writing leads, so we kind of just leave solos to the last minute because we're like, whatever, we'll just do it later. Like tonight, I got a lead that it's not even like solidified, so I was like, I'm just gonna have fun and like
just blister through some
just
shit.
Just improv, it'll be fun.
But also, we're working on a couple splits. Nothing's like concrete yet, but we have a couple bands that we want to do splits with. So we're working on material for those.
Because we have a lot of influences from the black and death metal side, so we want to have a split with a pretty straightforward like black metal band and a pretty straightforward death metal band. So two different ones, and on each, I think we're going to do one original.
Solidarity.
I forgot. One original or two?
Well, we talked about this beforehand.
Yeah. Okay.
I think two originals on the cover.
Yeah. Bob Marley or Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
I think for the more black and split, I think we're going to do Dissection. Do a Dissection cover.
Oh, yeah.
That's really fun. Fun stuff to play. And then, I don't know what we're going to do for the death metal cover.
But the album, tentatively, I mean, like, we're on no real schedule from Bentless, which is cool. I mean, he's a working man himself, and the people who work with him have jobs. I mean, this is not their profession. And, you know, so they don't expect you to tour, which is a really good... I mean, I'd love to tour, but, you know, they have jobs, girlfriends, it's just fiancés, some of us. So it's just not realistic. Not at this point. Not unless we could actually get enough to send back. And I kind of... we got signed and I almost felt like I was doing something wrong because suddenly we had to think about the financial side of it so much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then, I don't know. I just had to realize that it was part of it.
And with me doing engineering and mixing and mastering and stuff, we're going to track the drums in a studio because I don't have a space to do that. But I think I'll engineer that just because I don't really trust any of the engineers around here.
Yeah.
Because they make the drums sound terrible. And then, but then we'll probably do guitars. I'll probably just record those somewhere. And then, but Ventilus has been awesome. And we're not really sure who's going to mix and master it. We thought about our friends Gene Gray. Their last album was done by Dustin Miller, and he works with like Job for a Cowboy. Yeah. He did the Flesh Rot album. I don't know if
Yeah.
And so that guy's really good, and he's just fucking knows everything about mixing and mastering. He made Gene Gray's album sound gigantic, so we thought about using him. And you know, it's all about like cost and when we can do it and how long we have to wait with like finances and shit. But yeah, that's, you know, we've been trying to plan. We tried to plan a tour with Rings of Saturn, but then they got on that Decapitated tour, which, you know, that's totally fine. It's fucking Decapitated.
Yeah.
Crack of Birth, you know? And, like, we actually, our PR guy, Dave from Earsplit PR, he told me we were actually supposed to go on that tour and be the opening band, but the Decapitated's management just wanted, like, a more eclectic band. And so that's why they picked the Heart Machine, which kind of makes sense because they're like a Sumerian band and they're all
Well, we do different things.
yeah, we got.
I'd call you guys pretty techie.
That's true.
So
yeah, man, I don't know.
That's another thing. People are always like, "Oh, you guys are technical, and those songs are hard to play." And I'm like, to us, it's just like music. We're just like, okay, and we get up there and play it. It's not even a big deal. But right. Then to other people, they're just like, "Wow, that looks like it's hard to play." And I'm just like, "Well, not for us, like." But then again, if I tried to play like Gene Gray's music, I'd probably be pretty technical. But to them, they're like,
You need to label this podcast Arkham, the world's most humble band.
Okay.
See,
and here's God dethroned with Storm of Steel. And this is Slaying the Blind by Haymoth.
we're riding that fine line between pride and like confidence and arrogance.
Yeah.
which I think is what bands need to do, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I know you hate Trivium, but
yeah,
like yeah, yes. You fucking hate Trivium.
I'm with you.
But right. Trivium, like, in their early days, Matt Heafy said he wanted to be fucking gigantic from, like, the beginning. And now look at them. They're playing fucking, and, you know, they just... They sold, like, 25,000 albums the first week.
Had to work in Trivium.
I'm just saying. Dude, In Waves was terrible, but...
Okay,
I won't get on the subject.
Dude, all right, no, I'll go on it for a little while. The Ascendancy was probably one of the greatest metalcore albums I've ever heard, ever. Mm-hmm. And then, when you immediately follow that up with an interview in Revolver, and on the cover you say, fuck metalcore, fuck you, bitch. Like, yeah. I was so fucking pissed about that.
It was really dumb about Matt Heafy, just like, when, I think it was like, maybe Shogun or the Crusade, he came out and said, like, screaming, he was done with it, and he just, like, he thought it should only be singing, you know, then he kind of took and fucking sucked James Hetfield's cock. That's what it seems like.
Right? Yeah.
Like, but now on the new album, there's tons of screaming. There's songs that only have screaming. It's like,
right.
Like whatever.
The Crusade is the one that you're thinking.
Yeah,
of.
Yeah. Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah. For a long time, I had major beef with Metallica because it just seemed like they were just ruining great bands left and right. Because like, I was a big fan of Avenged Sevenfold, and still kind of am, but not as much. Trivium and Bullet for My Valentine at the time. And then all three of them started worshipping Metallica, and all three of them changed sounds drastically, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
Fuck Metallica. Dude, they're just ruining great bands. That fuck.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I thought City of Evil was a terrible album, but I thought some of their solos are insane. Like, those guys really know how to play guitar. I don't care if anybody likes the music.
Do I need to be here?
No,
we're just... talk about this.
Wait, okay, second album.
That first Godsmack album, man.
Oh yeah, shit. Dude. Fucking heavy. It revolutionized deathcore, dude.
That's going to be the name of the episode.
Godsmack
revolutionized deathcore.
That'll get people listening. Without Godsmack, there would be no metal. Uh-oh.
We all owe a debt to Disturbed.
It's like, oh, fucking, what band was it? I want to say it was no beef with Born of Osiris because they're cool dudes. But yeah. It was like somebody asked them like something about like Danzig or something, yeah. And they were like, "Who's Danzig?"
Yeah, one of the members. I just literally didn't know who Danzig was.
Oh my god!
It's just
to me, I interviewed them a while ago, and I really wish I would have known about that so I could have asked.
Well, next time.
They'll be like, "Oh, we know now."
Oh yeah.
And then you're like,
"Oh, Metal Sucks."
The dudes in Arkham told me that. Who the fuck is Arkham? Yeah, the dudes in Metal Sucks said that. They were like, "Who's all right?" They were like, "Who's Danzig?" And they're like, "Fuck you guys, man! You know who Danzig is?"
Nah, it's whatever. Anyway, I don't know how we got on that. Hello.
That was fun.
Oh yes, the second album. We have a name, but like,
can't.
But
so secret.
Oh yeah, no, so secret.
Two syllables.
But
those are only clues.
It's two syllables. Well, we're gonna play Wheel of Fortune with Arkham here in a minute.
Oh yeah. but yeah, it should come out like mid 2012, I'd say, because I want to be in the studio doing drums in December.
I have people walking by. There's an open window here. And
yeah.
People walking by and.
And Kenny's just flailing at people randomly.
I got flashed, but I wish I could say I got flashed, but I didn't.
Dudes, hang your ass out that window. It'd be so legit.
I thought it opens, actually. I'll probably break if I try to open.
Climb up on the desk and just shatter shit.
Yeah, anyway.
Second album. Two syllables.
Yeah, it's going to have like 11 tracks on it, 10 or 11, I think. Whereas, like, I think Anno didn't only have 10. I forget, sorry.
It had 8.
Oh, okay. Steven. I have 8 tracks.
You had 8, Steven.
Well, welcome to Arkham, Steven.
Yeah. I wish you could see how he's standing right now.
New
hands on his hips, totally judging Steven.
Yep.
That's for some reason, I've taken on like. Apparently, I dress like a dad. Apparently, I don't know.
Not right now.
Not right now. Oh, I see.
Okay, so you know, band members and band members' girlfriends have taken to like calling me dad. Which really gets on my nerves because I'm not that much older than everybody else.
Yeah, you're really not.
It doesn't really get on my nerves.
It does really good. Doesn't bother me at all, in fact.
A little bit. I'm just whining about it. Matt said to whine about things.
Yeah.
So we're whining. Oh, no, the second album is going to be called Earthling, which I thought was kind of cool. Nobody else had a song.
And that is not to be confused with David Bowie's album named Earthling.
I know, you fucking told me! I know that one thing he does in The Labyrinth.
Yeah. That's the one thing. I knew about that.
He was in a Queen song once, wasn't he?
Yeah, once.
Does he matter other than that? Not really.
Guitar thing. Yeah, it's Earthling, which we thought was kind of cool because we were pretty huge fans of like classic sci-fi horror movies, and the term Earthling isn't really used anymore in like science fiction literature movies or anything. It's just kind of outdated.
Zombies don't speak, and that's pretty much the only thing happening in sci-fi nowadays.
Yep.
Fuck!
And it was like, it was kind of humorous. Our younger sister actually told me about that. And she's like, you know, Bowie has an album named Earthling. She's way into Bowie. And I was just like, oh man. But, you know, it's going to be cool. And then,
dude, just cover a Bowie song on it.
That would be pretty interesting. We were talking about doing. A cover of a song that's like totally out of the fucking blue, like you'd never think. But I'm not sure what we would do because, it would just sound like that song with blast beats and gravel.
like when Black Dahlia covered "Paint It Black."
Oh yeah,
and you're just like, "What? This doesn't make any sense. Yep, I don't understand it."
So and then I had a lot of time on my hands, especially this summer, no school. A lot of time on my hands, so I've been working on rough outlines for the third and fourth albums, which will actually both be concept albums, which I know sounds really wankish. I get it. Every time I hear somebody say a concept album, it's usually just like a poorly written story with like, you know, really, really cheesy lyrics. It's the other Matt.
It's me.
And this is the Alchemist's Goat Throne by Epizimus.
telling you to check out the Bullet Tooth podcast with great music from Sariana.
The Compressions and the Reapers will play forgive.
Deception of a Ghost.
My lungs are set fire. It's the cure to the war in you.
Kid Liberty. First Blood. Nightshade. And much, much more, including news and reviews from Bullet Tooth Records over at BulletToothPodcast.com. And this is Vermin to the Earth by Thrall. We'll be right back.
basically the theme for Earthling, even though Kenny wrote it, I'll talk about it. How he's explained
you
it.
You haven't read it, you can't read.
Yeah, I can't read, but that doesn't matter. I only have to play guitar.
I only have to read numbers.
Yeah.
Squiggle.
Read squiggles.
Oh, okay. String.
And it's going to be about... It's called Earthling, but it's going to be about different civilizations on different planets or from anywhere, really.
It's well, not necessarily. It's essentially multiple non-human perspectives and opinions on human life.
Oh, that's legit.
Like, it's how they would see, like, how, like, just kind of a cursory glance, like, not like an
yeah, like if
research.
If somebody
is Keanu Reeves on the album somewhere? Yeah. Just curious. Just curious.
Yeah,
we'll use a sample.
You're fucking it all up. You fuck. I got this robot.
Oh man, that's fucking.
I got this robot. That's the name of the. That's the name of the episode now. Let's see. We're gonna change it five times.
Yeah.
What we
came up with two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. No, it's I thought it was a cool idea, and the
calm down. It's still slaying me. I'm sorry. It was good.
And I think the third and fourth albums, I'm not really gonna divulge because you know I know all four of you care.
Right.
But I'm not gonna say anything because I'm not even done with it. I'm just making an ass out of myself.
But I will say that one of the albums is gonna be one song.
You don't know.
That would be so legit.
Yeah, it's going to be one song. Like, I want to make it so... I've already started hashing out some ideas for it, but I want it to be one entire piece, but it can be listened to in separate chunks, you know? Like, right. I want the tracks to be... I want there to be four tracks, but it'll be one song, and if you play it from start to finish, it'll go. But you can skip to each part, you know? And
yeah.
So that's my goal with that. So, that... You know, just
you should do it all as one track, so that way between a buried me can be like, fuck that guy.
40-minute track, and you're just like, god damn
dude,
it.
Really? We thought we were pushing the envelope with three tracks.
Oh, yeah.
I love it, man. Yeah, I mean, you don't really see...
It would.
Shut up. I don't have any animosity towards Mickey Bayer. No, it's, you don't really see it in the death metal a lot. I mean, there are long death metal tracks, but frankly... 3 minutes about does it for me. Like, you know, Arkham evolved into this. Like, I would probably not join this kind of band. I probably wouldn't. I'm a black metal kid myself.
You're not a kid, you're 23.
Grow.
That's dad.
Not, that's not. Yeah! We talked about this already.
Grandpa? Jesus, you're almost dead.
Fuck, I'm in the grave then.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, But it's tough. I mean, people are like, how do you do that? And it sounds like a cliche, but practice is all you can say. I mean, and people are like, oh, you're so good. And then I can point to like 10 billion bands that are better than us, you know?
Oh, yeah, easily.
So, I mean, it's an interesting, like, audience-performer dynamic that you see, especially in local scenes. Young kids, of which there are plenty.
There's our boy.
First band.
Huh? There's our boy.
If you,
oh, drummer?
That. Yes, that's our drummer.
Yeah, yeah. I was saying when I first got here, he was warming up. And I was watching his feet, because I like to creep drummers out and just stare at their feet when they're playing. And like, it's amazing, because watching him and Steven, also, from The Entity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, watching either of those guys make me want to reevaluate my life.
Yeah.
I just watch for a minute and go, God, I'm such a failure. Like, I should reconnect with my father. And, you know, like, there's this whole process, you know? And yeah. It's like, oh,
connect
man.
School,
I got to take some classes,
me.
Something.
I saw a drummer.
Traveling girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Armin's stupid dude.
Yeah, we got really lucky in finding him.
Incredibly lucky. I mean, he's played in signed bands before. I mean, he was in Virgin Womb, he was in Shotgun Sodomy, he was in Dislin, he was in Inhumanity.
Satanity.
Oh, wait, was he in Inhumanity? They got fucked up on
him. I think he was in that one, actually.
I don't know.
He did a lot of good shit over on the East Coast and, like, the Midwest. He was in a ton of bands.
He's from Ohio. Originally.
Yeah.
So he was a... He's had a role in that scene up until the beginning of last year for 15 years.
Then he moved here. And I'm honestly not sure why he moved here.
I don't know.
I've asked him, but he's a damn good tattoo artist.
Really?
Yeah. He's really fucking good.
Yeah, right? Doesn't he look like shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? I know. Like, I got people coming up to me. And
I quit this fucking gig. This is bullshit.
I got people coming up to me at the mall and stuff. And like, dude, you're from Arkham. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, your drummer just tattooed my back. And they pulled it up. It's like this huge piece. I'm like, fuck.
Oh, yeah, there's like four of those out there. I plan on getting some done by him soon.
All right. Well, I think that's all I need from you guys. It just got louder in here.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you for doing this, and we're going to sign out.
Yeah, thanks. All right. Awesome, man. Thank you.
And this is Obviated Geocentrism by Arkham.
Given all the elements of the known universe and enough time, our existence is inevitable. It's no more mysterious than trees or sharks. We're mathematical probability, and that's all.
want to promote your podcast on the Alloy Podcast, shoot us an email at alloypodcast@yahoo.com and attach a 30 to 60 second promotional spot for your podcast, and we will run it for you on the show. And this last track is called Oceans, off of the brand new Will of a Million record called Lull. Make sure you give them a look. Thank you for joining me and Arkham for Black Friday.
Watching over, we're nothing. We come from dirt, we go back into dirt.